Hello, Dove, and everyone. Happy Sunday evening. It's good to be here with y'all. We have a room full here. We have Donna Marble here, although she's in the room, on the Pal Talk room. She's also here in the physical room. Danielle's laying on the floor, so hopefully I won't put her to sleep. Myron is here. Lisa Hansen is here. And Bill Free is here. So quite a group here. It's a lot of fun. We've all had a very nice day today. I think Donna stayed home and kind of mellowed out today. And Jasmine and Danielle and Myron and I went on a walk next to the Arkansas River. And Bill and Lisa went to the Royal Gorge. But what they did at the Royal Gorge that was really exciting was they flew on what is called the Sky Coaster, which some of you guys may have seen these like at a Six Flags or in Orlando, where they pull you up in a harness, they pull you up real high, and then they yell over an intercom for you to fly, right?
Yeah.
They say, what do they say?
3, 2, 1, fly.
3, 2, 1, fly, and you pull the cord and you fall, and then you swing out. They did that today, but they did that at the Royal Gorge, which is a little different. Even though these swings are like 100 feet tall, is that how tall they are? But then when they swing out, they're swinging out over a gorge so that the river down below them is actually 1,300 feet down. So it's quite an experience. And Lisa, do you want to come here and tell what you were telling us about your fear?
Oh, sure.
Here, let Lisa tell her story. It's pretty cool.
Here,
you can take my chair.
Hi, everybody. Yeah, so this is an insane thing to do, really, if you think about it, to willingly strap yourself into a harness and face a fall like that and face hanging out, swinging out over a 1,300-foot drop. But I was in the harness, and I was waiting. We were waiting for our turn, and I was overcome by this huge fear. And I had a few minutes where I really wanted to just take off the harness and leave and not care what anybody thought of me for that. But then I thought, this is a good opportunity for me to really have a good look at the fear and see what was there. And I really was too scared to analyze it at all. I just became very aware of it and questioned it. You know, is this fear really true? Asked to be released from the fear and to believe that the fear was not real. And as I did that, that's all I had to do. It was pretty simple. And as I became willing to not believe the fear, it really just left. And what remained was just kind of this excitement about I was going to go on a a crazy ride. And that's exactly what it was. It was a lot of fun. I think I laughed through the whole thing. I didn't say any bad words during the free fall. some people did, but I didn't feel to do that. And I think I said, oh, my God, once. So that was pretty good. And it was a lot of fun. I'd do it again in a minute. And it was another reminder to me that Holy Spirit will use any situation to help us learn and to help us just grow and move through our beliefs. Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Great.
Yeah, we came in and she walked back in the house after they had gone. She goes, "We did it!" And I'm like, "Oh my God, you're kidding!" Yeah, that's very cool. So, so good. Monica says that you are an awesome teacher, Lisa. Oh, and Dove wants to know if you're ready to start being a guest teacher. Okay, so we are here for Holy Spirit Guides, which is when we look at the messages that Holy Spirit has given me over the years in order to be helpful to me. And I'm going to give you a link to the first message that we are going to look at. We're looking at messages right now in December of 2006. So, gosh, that'd be what, 3.5 years ago? Yeah, so... what I would like to do before we go and look at the messages, of course, is say a prayer. So if you all would join me, I would appreciate it. Thank you. Holy Spirit, I am, as always, grateful for your guidance. What I feel to do now, Holy Spirit, is to go within. Deep, deep within, to the center, the core of my true desire, my willingness to awaken, my desire to know thyself, to know our truth, to go beyond everything that we think we know, everything that we are familiar with. It may at times feel like the free fall that Lisa just described. Letting go of that familiar. What I've learned, Holy Spirit, is that it is the desire to truly awaken, to truly see, that guides us to do what we otherwise would not do because of fear. I remember, Holy Spirit, that NTI Revelation teaches that the only thing that will take us through the final trials of the thinking mind or the final efforts of the ego to cling to the world, the only thing that will get us through that is full focus on our true desire. Our capital W willingness to awaken. NTI also tells us that if we focus on our willingness, it will grow. So this is why I put my attention there. That it may grow and expand. That we may let go of the familiar and instead recognize the truth of what we are. Step back into full remembrance, full joy, full peace, full happiness, full love, without exception. Amen. All right, so as I mentioned, we're going to look at the message. I've given you the link. It doesn't look like anybody else has popped into the room, so maybe everybody has clicked on the link. Oh. And it looks like I had a question about A Course in Miracles workbook lesson 9, I see nothing as it is now. My question to Holy Spirit on that day was simply, what do you want to share regarding this thought? I see nothing as it is now. And here's the Holy Spirit's answer. This is the hardest of lessons for you to learn because you believe you must see something as it is now. You believe you must be right about something. The mind that you identify with says, I can't be wrong about everything. But I say, yes, you can, and you are. You are even wrong about your identification of yourself. You see nothing as it is now. As you begin to grasp the edge of this thought, all that you can feel is the desire for surrender. For if you are wrong about everything, you don't know how to do anything. You don't know what to think, which way to turn, what to do, or what to say. To this thought, I say yes. Yes, that is it exactly. You don't know anything, and so you can make no decisions by yourself. Not one. Immediately your mind goes to, well, I know this. Stop there. When your mind starts telling you what you do know, stop right there. Acknowledge in joy, I do not know anything. I see nothing as it is now. Your answer lies in this surrender. All knowledge exists in the realization that you don't know, because the mind that thinks it knows is the veil of illusion. It is the mind that separates and judges. It is the mind that doesn't know anything but continues to think it does know. I ask only this of you. Continue to tell yourself that you don't know. As you hold to this thought, you will be guided. The guidance comes from knowing. Trust the knowing without trying to understand it. Just follow it in trust. Trust knowing without trying to own it through understanding leads you to knowingness, which is knowledge. Trust it, follow it, don't ask to understand it. This is full surrender to God. This morning here in Pueblo, we started studying NTI 1 Corinthians. We looked at chapters 1 and chapter 2. And NTI 1 Corinthians is about becoming the empty shell. The empty shell, the way it's described in NTI, is when we let go of all thoughts, all thinking, and truly we are moved by spirit without any judgment, any decision making on our own. And while we were talking about that, I was reminded of a term that Raj has used before. I heard him use it a few years ago. The term was puppet. You know, to become a puppet for the Holy Spirit. And really, if you think about a puppet absolutely does not move itself. I mean, if the puppeteer does not pick up the puppet and start moving the strings, the puppet just lies there. It does nothing. It makes no decisions at all on its own. And this is, of course, what really Holy Spirit is asking us to do. But in this particular message, Holy Spirit, to a point, kind of explains why. And again, it has to do with workbook lesson 9. I see nothing as it is now. I mean, you know, and we all know this. We all know this intellectually. Okay, we all know this intellectually, which is different than truly knowing it. We know from our study of A Course in Miracles that this microphone is not a microphone. This blanket is not a blanket. This body is not a body. You know, I see nothing as it is now. We know that intellectually. But I'm guessing that most of us, if not all of us, to one degree or another, do not know that in the way that we live our lives. I mean, we think we understands the problems in front of us, right? We think we understand what's right in a situation, what's wrong in a situation, what can be done to fix a situation. And when we are doing that, which is actually perfectly normal for a human, and by the way, human, remember, is the same as ego. When we are doing that, we are not exercising our true intelligence. Because our true intelligence would know that we don't know anything. I mean, that's really what our true intelligence would know. We don't know anything. We don't see anything as it is now. We couldn't possibly make a decision on our own. So it's just nice to maybe just take a moment to remember this. You know, when I started with the prayer, I said I wanted to go to the core of my true desire. And the core of our true desire would have us lay down everything we think we know because we are wrong. And because continuing to believe that we're right and continuing to make our own decisions continues the illusion. And we don't really have to be afraid of not knowing anything. In fact, probably most of you have practiced this enough to know that there's actually an absolute joy in it. Somehow when we let go of thinking we know and understand, It's like we put down a burden. I'm sure everybody has had that experience to some degree. When we say, I don't know, and we just let things unfold and we just wait for prompts and we are in no way trying to figure out or control, it's actually very freeing. So we don't need to be afraid at all. We just need to remember. Not fall back into our old practices, our old thinking that we understand and that we know what to do. So again, I just want to take a moment to go into the core of my true desire and literally give my willingness to remember in day-to-day life that I see nothing as it is now. I don't know anything. I cannot make a judgment or a decision. The only thing I can really do is to surrender. Ask for guidance and be moved or not moved, whatever the guidance is. And I'd also like to remember that this practice is putting down the burden. That it's a freeing practice. And it's not only in my best interest, but it's in the best interest of everyone. For why would anyone want someone who doesn't know anything, someone who's wrong about everything, making decisions? I mean, you know, so it's a simple message, but I think it's a really helpful reminder. Again, not anything that we don't know intellectually as core students, but we're talking about going beyond that. So what I'm going to do is just let go of the mic, see if anybody has anything they want to share before we go to the next message. I see Teddy's if you're wrong about that, what can you be right about? And the thought that came to my mind is, you know, the thing we can be right about is remembering to surrender, right? I guess we're right about that. Remembering we don't know anything. Remembering to surrender, but letting go of everything else. If you are in the link with me, I see a few more people have entered the room, so I'll give another link. But if you're in the link with me, at the top of the page, you'll see where it says Remain Focused on You. You can just click on Remain Focused on You. And that will take us to our next message. For those of you who have not, who have entered the room and have not been to the link yet, here's a link for our next message. All right. So, another short message. I asked a question. I said, Holy Spirit, what would you share with me today? So a completely open question. And this is what Holy Spirit said. I ask you to remain focused on you. I have you in service to others, but you can only serve them by remaining focused on you. If you forget to be focused on you and you focus on them, you are accepting the thought of separation. In this way, you are helpful to no one, because you are teaching separation within the mind. Continue to share that which I give you to share, but let not the sharing be your focus. Let the listening, committing, and practice be your focus now. Continue to focus on accepting the atonement in your mind. As you accept the correction and allow truer sight to be your way of seeing, you give sight throughout the mind. This is the only way to give. You can only give through mind by giving to mind that which mind truly desires. So what Holy Spirit has done is kind of changed the words. You know, it was in November of 2006 that we were given the saying, love is giving through spirit, to spirit, that which spirit requests. Holy Spirit is using that same idea, changing the words slightly to define how we give. And, you know, obviously we all know that probably before becoming students of A Course in Miracles or something spiritual, we thought of giving as physical, like I give this pen to Danielle. But he's taking that out of the definition of give. Notice he says you can only give through mind by giving to mind that which mind truly desires. And I'll tell you that NTI talks more about this. In fact, it probably is in 1 Corinthians, so we're probably going to be covering it, you know, in the next couple of weeks here. But in NTI, giving is defined as giving through mind, or we could call it through thought or through awareness, only that which is true. And that if I think an untrue thought, like if I think, you know, this person is very annoying, NTI calls that not giving at all. That's not giving at all, because it's not true. It's not giving at all. So the only way we can give is to be in true awareness, or to think a true thought, which is the reflection of true awareness. And that's really what Spirit is saying here. Listen to this again. As you accept the correction and allow truer sight to be your way of seeing, you give sight throughout the mind. This is the only way to give. You can only give through mind by giving to mind that which mind truly desires. And notice the key word truly, because Holy Spirit knows that even though we are all very attached to the ego, very addicted to the ego, and we think ego thoughts all day long, Holy Spirit knows that ego is not our true desire. You know, the way A Course in Miracles expresses it is that God's will for me is perfect happiness. But God's will and my will are not separate. That means that my will for me is perfect happiness. Ego is the obstruction to the experience of perfect happiness. So ego is not my true desire. The obstruction cannot be the desire. So Holy Spirit, when Holy Spirit says that you can only give through mind by giving to mind that which mind truly desires, he's saying the same thing that NTI 1 Corinthians says. The only way to give is by being in true awareness, true knowledge, or by thinking the thoughts that are the reflection of that, what we would call Holy Spirit's thoughts, or what Holy Spirit often calls our real thoughts. So far in this message, we only have one teeny tiny paragraph to go. I see Dev is quoting me actually from today. Ken asked the question. You know, he asks a question every day. It's a lot of fun when Ken asks these questions, Ken Mallory. And today he asked, what does truly mean to you? And I answered that truly means with all my heart and above all else. So, you know, so what the mind truly desires, with all our heart, that would be the capital H heart, and above all else, not any other desire. That's what we give. Anything else we can't truly give. So what Holy Spirit is saying in this particular message, he's acknowledging that he has put me in a role of teaching, coaching, seeming to physically help others. But what he is telling me is that I can't really do that if that is my focus. If my focus is, as we've been saying around here lately, trying to fix others, I'm not really helpful. My focus has to always be me, not Danielle or whoever else is in front of me. Even if Danielle is here asking me for help, if she has some type of a problem, some type of a concern, some type of a fear, and she asks me for help, my true focus is not to be on Danielle. My true focus is to be on me. You know, the first thing I want to do is watch my mind and make sure I'm being clear. I want to watch my mind, make sure there aren't any judgments, make sure there aren't any shared beliefs with her. You know, if she starts talking about running out of money, I want to make sure I'm not panicking. Oh God, running out of money. Now that is bad. So the first thing I want to do is check my mind and make sure I'm clear. And then when there's certainty that I am clear, the next thing I want to do is I want to check within for what Spirit's asking me to do. But notice how the focus, although it may end up being truly helpful to Danielle, notice how the focus is on me. The focus is on my own clarity, any obstacles that I may have, letting those obstacles be removed, and listening for guidance. You know, it kind of goes back to what we were talking about with the previous message. It's really allowing myself to be the puppet, and it's not making any judgment calls or decisions myself. So the way that we're truly helpful, even though the appearance may be that it's one body assisting another body, the way that we are truly helpful is by always keeping the focus within, always keeping the focus on me. You know, are there any obstacles in my mind now? Any confusion in my mind now? Any judgments in my mind now? Am I perfectly clear? And if so, Spirit, what would you have me say? What would you have me do? I am here as your puppet. I do not know what to say to this person. I do not know what is their answer. That's how we are most helpful. Puppetgee. Yeah, I've seen Puppetgee. He's really cute. I saw him on YouTube. Yeah. So, the last paragraph then. Listen to yourself in every moment, to your true desire, and give only to that desire by giving to yourself. Everything else will fall into place through the miracle of the self that you are. I remember when I first, you know, in the first year of being a Course in Miracles student, I was really, as you, and I'm sure you guys know, really sincerely trying to practice everything that Spirit asked me to practice. And especially in the first part of the first, you know, 7 months or so, it seems like my first focus became letting go, you know, at least to some degree, of the belief in unworthiness. I needed to get that out of the way. And I remember, you know, the feeling of unworthiness, guilt and unworthiness would start to come up, and it was very strong. And what I felt like I needed to do was go into the bedroom, close the door, and focus on letting go. Like at that time, I wasn't really strong enough to practice letting go in the presence of what might have been the conflict. And although it sounds ridiculous, but maybe some of you understand, at that time the conflict was often Jasmine, you know, the six-year-old kid annoying me in some way. And I couldn't sit in the room with her and let go too at that, you know, at that time. So it seemed like I needed to go to my room and let go. And it seems like I spent a lot of time in my room then looking at my mind and practicing letting go. And a thought that came into my mind, an ego thought that came into my mind, was how guilty I was, how selfish I was to be spending all of this time practicing A Course in Miracles and ignoring my daughter. And that thought was a temporary obstacle to me. I got very confused by that thought for a time. I felt, you know, on the one hand, like I really needed to go and spend some time alone practicing letting go, you know, looking at my mind. And then at the same time, there's this thought that somehow what I was doing was awful. And Holy Spirit really helped me, actually, with a message that maybe some of you are familiar with that came in February of 2005 called "The Ego is Not the Devil." But what the Holy Spirit helped me to see in that message was that the greatest gift I could give to everyone, including, of course, my daughter, was the exact practice I was doing in my bedroom at that time with the door closed. Letting go of my belief in my unworthiness, letting go of my belief in guilt, letting go of my fear, allowing these obstacles to be removed from my mind so that I could get to a point of true clarity. And I'll tell you, even at the level of form, we have evidence of that. If any of you ever come and listen to Jasmine when she's on the mic with me on Friday afternoons at 6:30 Eastern Time, she is a happy child. And she notices the difference in me. So even at the level of physical, that time I took alone, away from her, in order to clear myself up, was helpful to her, even at the level of physical. We don't even have to get into the metaphysical. You know, she doesn't have this mom screaming at her all the time anymore, annoyed with her all the time anymore. By focusing on myself, by getting myself cleared, I was helpful to her. And in fact, people often ask that question. They'll ask, what's the best thing I can do for my children? Get yourself, you know, healed. Take care of yourself. Focus on yourself. And if that thought comes into the mind like it did me from ego that says you're being selfish, that's not a true thought. And in fact, when you get wise enough, you know that that's a thought you don't need to listen to because you can hear the judgment in that. And Holy Spirit never guides through judgment or chastisement. I mean, listen to that thought. You are so selfish to be in here practicing forgiveness, reading A Course in Miracles, when you've got a daughter out there that needs your attention. You hear that tone? That's obviously ego. And whenever we hear those kinds of thoughts in our mind, those are thoughts we do not need to listen to. That is not our true guide. That is not our true counsel. That is literally the voice within that is attempting to mislead us and leave us attached to all of our errors. So, you know, A Course in Miracles says a miracle worker's only responsibility is to accept the atonement for himself. This message is saying the same thing. Even in the apparent role of helping others, you know, even though Holy Spirit says, I've asked you to write for me, I've asked you to teach for me, I've put you in the position of coach and counselor for your brothers. But don't focus on them. Focus on you. Because that's how I become the perfect puppet. And that's how I become, well, the Course uses the term miracle-minded, most helpful, most useful. I can't do it if I'm in the way with what I think I know, especially when I don't see anything as it is now, right? Then I'm just bringing confusion into any situation. I'm going to let go of the mic and see if anyone has anything they want to share. Cliff listens. And by that I mean Cliff listens when Jasmine and I are teaching. And Jasmine and I taught, we had a great teaching actually a couple of weeks ago because Jasmine was unhappy, actually. She was unhappy because Danielle and I went shopping. And Danielle and I fell in love with a couple of pieces of art that we thought were wonderful, and we brought them in and hung them up, but they were religious in nature. And Jasmine felt that the house was becoming too spiritual, too religious, and she was very sad. And so when the teaching started, I decided not to do what we usually do, which is read from NTI. I asked Jasmine if she was willing to talk about how she felt, and she said she was. And we just spent half an hour. First, we talked through that, and actually she got to where she was okay, and she's been fine ever since. It must have been a true okay. But then we just started talking about our relationship and how things are before us, and we went back and we told a story, which is what Cliff is quoting here. We told a story about how I was before A Course in Miracles, before I spent all that time in the bedroom. And really, the way I used to be, first of all, again, I did have a lot of unworthiness, but it was very denied. Like, I didn't think of myself as someone who felt unworthy. So it was very, very denied. But there was a lot of unworthiness, and it drove a lot of my decisions without me knowing it. And really, I had a thought that I wanted Jasmine to be better than me. I didn't want her to grow up to be a loser like me. I wanted her to be better. So what I did was I had her in lots of different lessons. I had her in piano lessons, dance lessons, gymnastic, horseback riding. She went to Chinese school. you know, every night we studied math for 20 minutes. We did reading for 20. She was in first grade, by the way. We did reading for 20 minutes. We practiced our Chinese for 20 minutes. And I also worked, and I didn't even pick her up until 6 from daycare. We didn't get home till 6:30. I still had to cook. We had to eat. Her bedtime was probably 8:30 then, right? And so in that little space in between dinner and bedtime, when she had to bathe every night, I was trying to cram all this stuff in. And I like had it figured out. We have exactly this much time for piano, exactly this much time for reading, exactly this much time for math, and this much time for Chinese. And I was like a drill sergeant. I mean, we had to be on the clock to get all this stuff done. And and there was this one night when Jasmine was practicing piano, and as you can imagine, this was really a lot of pressure. And she just started crying. She just started crying and crying. And my reaction was, let me move the mic away so I don't hurt your ears. You don't have time to cry. We have to do math and reading and Chinese, and you have to take a bath. And that's the truth. Here comes Jasmine. So that's what... I'm telling the story about the time I screamed at you, you don't have time to cry.
It's a replay.
But that wasn't just a one-day occurrence, to be honest. I thought I was a good parent. And you know what else? Other people thought I was a good parent. Because the truth is, where I live, that's kind of how everybody was. We all, you know, we lived in this high-pressure, upper middle class. It was really white, Chinese, and Indian, but you know, really all three of those can be overachiever races, right? Everybody's pushing their kids to be the best, and it was very stressful, and I was just as caught up in it as everyone else. So that time away in my bedroom when I appeared to be ignoring Jasmine, and by the way, she was fine. She may have just been watching TV, but she obviously lived through that six-month period. And then I emerged better. Is it okay if I use it? It's a judgment word, but I think that it's an honest response. I emerged better in every way. And so the thought that I was being selfish by taking that time to practice forgiveness was just an obstacle thought that was attempting to keep me from doing that, attempting to keep me from becoming more clear. And this is true for us in all of our relationships and all of our situations, all of our seeming problems in the world. If I have a problem in the world, a financial problem, a what-to-do problem, I don't want to focus on the problem. I want to focus on me, right? What's in my mind? What's in my way? Why aren't I clear? You know, what needs to be forgiven in me? If I focus on me, and I focus on my true desire and my healing, everything else takes care of itself. Any guidance I need, I can receive when I'm clear. So, so there we go. Thank you, Cliff, for reminding me of that story. I'm going to let go of the mic for a second, see if anyone else wants to share before we move on. Plus, I'm getting kind of thirsty. I need a drink of my strawberry slushy. No, oh, I didn't realize that was a question. I thought it was one of those rhetorical questions.
No, I really do.
Okay, come here, Bill, and explain your question.
I have a question on understanding awareness versus true awareness. Is there something that, is there a difference in... Is there an awareness that's not true awareness? I'm just trying to understand that.
Well, again, sometimes we might be getting into words, which, as you know, can become obstacles in themselves. And I know that right now, Bill, you're listening to and reading and studying Great Freedom, and I know they have a use of the word awareness that I wouldn't be familiar with. So all of that is like a caveat. My answer would be, sort of, yes. Like if I was to hit your hand with a hammer, you're going to be aware of the pain. And you might even be aware of the pain in a completely egotistical way, like really pissed off at me too, right? Mm-hmm. What do you mean? You wouldn't be?
I don't see that.
Well, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here.
I don't see that awareness feels the pain.
Okay, so that's what I mean by we're getting into words then. Because see, so you're using awareness in a very distinct way. But it's not the only way the word is always used. So that's what I mean by words can become an obstacle. You see what I mean? Like you have a very definite definition. So for you, the word awareness by itself is the same as pure awareness.
It's Holy Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's kind of a noun.
But somebody else could use the same word in a different way. Right? Like,
right.
You know?
Well, when I see it used as true awareness,
right.
Then you would be defining, you would have different definitions of awareness.
Yes.
In order to call it true awareness, there would be a different level.
Absolutely.
A level awareness. Different a level.
Absolutely.
So, for me, when I see the word true awareness, I'm thinking, okay, well, how does untrue awareness show up?
Yeah, well, another way the word awareness can be used, in fact, I think it is used in NTI, is synonymous with consciousness, synonymous with what the Course says. When the Course says consciousness is the domain of the ego. In other words, when I'm physically, when I'm asleep, I might not be aware. When I'm awake, I'm aware, but that's not the same as awareness with a capital A or true awareness as you're talking about. So again, we're just getting into words, and sometimes we need to get way beyond the words so that we don't get confused. So like I said, if I was to hit your hand with a hammer, okay, may not be in capital A awareness at all, but you're going to have a conscious awareness of that pain, even if you're totally an ego. True awareness is absent of all ego. So that would be the same as awareness as you use it with great freedom. But again, these things are all just words. Because, you know, like it's interesting because A Course in Miracles says consciousness is the domain of the ego. But yet lots of spiritual teachers use the word consciousness completely synonymous with awareness. Right? You know, the way you're using it. So one thing we definitely need to do as we listen, as we learn to listen to each other, especially as we're studying different materials, is we definitely need to learn to listen beyond the words to the meaning of the message and not let words become an obstacle.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. So, Teddy is saying Easter traditions. I never heard Easter tradition. See, there's a word I'm unfamiliar with. Use it that way, and so does David Hawkins. I don't know whether he's talking about the consciousness or the awareness now, because we talked about both. Oh, Eastern. Okay, I've heard of Eastern traditions. I thought, Teddy, you were talking about some spirituality I wasn't aware of. Easter traditions, use it that way. Yeah, consciousness. Yeah, they use consciousness as the awakened, right? Where A Course in Miracles says consciousness is the domain of the ego. So all of these words get changed and they're used differently, and so it's really helpful to really listen beyond the words. Okay, good. So tell you what, let me see what our next message is. Make full surrender a habit is the name of it. If you're in the message, you just have to click at the top where it says make full surrender a habit. You just click on that. And if you haven't been in the message, because there are more people in the room now, I'm giving you a link now, and this link will take you to make full surrender a habit. I'm drinking a strawberry slushy from Sonic, and if you ever had one, they have strawberries in it, and I'm trying to suck a slushy because I'm thirsty, and there's a strawberry stuck in my straw. I'm having a little bit of trouble here. Got some, though. Okay. And then, Teddy just wrote something else. Let's see what he said. He said, but the Eastern tradition also sees that consciousness is both form and formless arising. Yeah. Okay, and Lynn loves Sonic. All right, here we go. Make full surrender a habit. Once again, I just asked a simple opening question. Holy Spirit, what would you share with me today? And here's the answer. We have been speaking of surrender. you have an idea of how little you surrender now. And you're aware that, you know, yeah. There's some awareness for you. You have
like somebody talking to Helen.
Yeah, it does sound like somebody talking to Helen. You have an idea of how little you surrender now. You have learned to surrender in some situations, but you have not yet learned to surrender in all. And that's true. For example, one thing I learned to surrender in right away was writing with spirit. You know, whenever the guidance would come to sit down and scribe NTI or these personal messages, that was a complete surrender. Regina was not trying to effort what should be said or think about what should be said. I was truly able to surrender completely, become the puppet, and write. But at this time, although my relationship was much better with Jasmine than when she was six, I was still not fully surrendered. I still thought I knew how to parent. I was a better and more patient parent, but I still thought I needed to make the decisions. I needed to be the parent. I wasn't yet ready to trust spirit to guide me in, you know, what to do with my daughter. So I wasn't fully surrendered at this time. And I'm sure there were a number of other things, but those are two examples that come into my mind. So again, you have learned to surrender in some situations, but you have not yet learned to surrender in all. We must take what you do in some and extend it to all. This will take great commitment on your part, for the ego is willing for anything except surrender. We talked about this morning as well, because again, we started NTI 1 Corinthians, and that really is about complete surrender. And I mentioned also that when Inner Ramana came and started talking to me, the very first thing Inner Ramana talked to me about is surrender. And some of my friends, some of the people that you know, had been around for a couple of years, actually became very upset when Inner Ramana started talking about surrender, because Inner Ramana was, you know, they're just very direct about surrender. There was no hem-hawing around. And a lot of my friends became, a few of my friends became upset. Literally, I would hear things like, you know, Holy Spirit would not ask you to surrender. You know, just like, that's just not true. That's not it. And that reaction is actually coming from the ego part of our split mind. Notice what Holy Spirit is saying. Ego is willing for anything except surrender. So that's the one thing that ego least wants us to do. And in fact, that's why ego wants us to think we understand the problem and think that we can figure out the answer. Ego wants us to stay the independent thinker. Because if we do not stay the independent thinker, there is no ego. You understand? That's the end of ego. This is why ego does not want us to surrender. So it does seem to take a great commitment, a full focus on our true desire, if we want to lay down being the one who thinks we know and understand what we see and thinks we know what to do about it, and get to a point where we are always asking. You know, Inner Ramana taught that we should always ask, how am I to see this? What am I to think? What am I to do? What am I to say? I mean, again, do you see how it's just like a puppet? If, you know, if Holy Spirit doesn't pull my strings, I cannot move. And this is really what we are asked to eventually get to this point. Jesus called it learning to listen to only one voice. And he also says in A Course in Miracles, that's the last thing he learned to do. So he's not claiming that he was an expert at this early on. He seems to be claiming that as he continued his teaching and as he continued his moving on through life and his gaining of clarity, he himself was still learning the perfect surrender. So Holy Spirit says it will take great commitment on our part. And what that really means is we need to continue to, I'm going to say, try to get better at it. Continue to notice when we are not surrendered, and then continue to give our willingness to be surrendered there too. And without judgment, but again, back to awareness, just being aware of where we have made our errors, aware of where we forgot to ask, aware of where we jumped in and thought we knew. And as we become more aware of this, with our true desire in focus, we will just start naturally changing our mind, and we will start naturally surrendering more, because that is what our true desire wants. Okay, so Holy Spirit continues. I ask you to watch the ideas in your mind and where they come from. Many of the ideas seem helpful on the surface. You are sharing useful information, and others are finding it useful. There is nothing wrong with that. Yet, listen to this sentence. One can become addicted to the spiritual path. I once told you that this path you have chosen is the highest of all paths in the world. However, it is in the world. In order to awaken, you must choose to step off of this path with me. And actually, he's told me that in NTI. That shows up in NTI Luke. He continues, the ego wants you on the spiritual path. The spiritual path is a type of trying, seeking, discovering, and sharing with others, all of which are actions in the world. It is not a path of knowing and being, because knowing and being cannot be found in action. Action may seem to be accomplished through one who is the embodiment of knowing and being, but that one is not acting. That one is following. Being is following, because following is joined, and joined is a part of the process of creation. Creation is never separate. It is a part of and in full inclusion with. It is following, because following is never independent. Therefore, you prepare yourself for the pure act of creation by following one voice within the world now. So, what Holy Spirit is attempting to illustrate for us is that we are so connected that any movement within us creates equal movements, right? I mean, it's all connected. And so everything then kind of becomes a following. We might also call it an interacting, a sharing, but nothing is independent. And when we surrender our independent thinking mind, and we surrender to Spirit, and Spirit says, say this to this person, it's because something in that person has already decided it wants to hear that. You are following. You know, you are following. You may appear to be leading, but you are following. And when you go within and ask and you get that guidance, you're always following the other movements, the other decisions that have been made in the universe, but you're always following them from the right mind and not from the wrong mind. You maybe appear to be leading, but you're never leading. You know, like we've talked about here in the house, how Ramana Maharshi, you know, after he awakened, he went and sat in stillness for, I think it was 17 years. And then people always ask, what brought him out of the stillness? What made him come out and become active and be a teacher? And the answer, the real answer is we did. And in fact, there was one particular representative of us that literally went in and asked him to. He went in and asked him to. I don't remember the exact words of this particular student, but he went in. He was a seeker. He wanted to ask questions. He wanted Ramana to answer those questions. And he went in and asked for that. And Ramana responded. But you see, Ramana was following. He was not deciding of his own self that, you know, now would be a good time to stop the stillness thing and start teaching. The universe led him into that. Eckhart Tolle speaks about the same thing. He speaks about the same experience, you know, that moved him, began to move him to write The Power of Now. So, the ego wants us on the spiritual path. When the ego wants us on the spiritual path, the ego is not interested in surrender. It's not interested in the following. It's interested in an independent active. It's interested in me making the decision that I want to be the teacher. It's interested in me making the decision that I know what her problem is and I can fix her. It's also interested in me making the decision about what books I will read, about what seminars I will go to. You know, it's very interested in me making the decision. It's not interested in surrender. Another thing that NTI says about the spiritual path is that the spiritual path is like a double-edged sword, right? It can lead you to awakening, but it can also lead you to spend a whole lot of time doing absolutely nothing. The spiritual path itself does not make the difference. What makes the difference is whether we are surrendered. Are we letting spirit guide us in what we read, in what we say, in what we write, in what we do, and where we go? Or are we making those decisions for ourselves? Okay, so spirit has asked us to surrender. And the next paragraph in the message says, the ego will put up great resistance to this request. The ego will tell you that complete following within the world is impossible, as some human matters cannot be left to me. And I told you at the time I believed that. I did. Like, I needed to parent. That's something I had to do. Sure, spirit would tell me what to write when I'm scribing. You know, that was spirit's job. But parenting was my job, right? So the ego will tell you that complete following within the world is impossible, as some human matters cannot be left to me. In fact, I have at least one person, I don't know about you, but one person probably feels that way about her job, right? That, you know, probably it's hard to surrender at work. You have to make those decisions. Yeah, so that's another probably good example that a lot of people have. In my job, I can't surrender, right? That when I get to work, I got to think, I got to take everything I've learned, and I got to do that. That's something I got to do. So again, the ego will tell you that complete following within the world is impossible, as some human matters cannot be left to me. This is only resistance to full surrender. Full surrender is needed in order to know full oneness as I am. And then Spirit says, here is what you are to do. Focus on your willingness for full surrender. Whenever you remember, turn a situation over to me. Let go of all attachment to what is done or not done or how it may be done. Make the surrender complete within your mind. When you feel complete surrender within, what to do will rise up. Follow that. That is the wave of oneness, which is the wave you shall ride home. Ride that wave and look for it continually. In this way, you will experience the least amount of delay. And then he says, do not think for yourself. Thinking for yourself is delay. Surrender all matters to me until surrender is a matter of habit. So the spirit is recognizing, at least with, you know, Regina, that she's not going to get up from this message and walk away and be fully surrendered in all things. She may hear clearly that that's not only necessary but desired within herself. She may see the reason behind it. The idea may open her heart and she may want very much to do it. But her mind is still split and she still listens to the ego somewhat. And there are times when she's just going to go with the ego, just think she understands the problem and think she knows what to do and not even remember to ask. The Holy Spirit's not judging that. The Holy Spirit just knows that's the way it is right now. So Holy Spirit is telling me what to do to get from here to there, to get from partial surrender to full surrender. And the first thing Holy Spirit asked me to do is focus on my willingness for full surrender. Just notice how I'm willing to do it. Notice that idea is okay with me. I don't have a true resistance. Now, the ego may have a resistance, but we're learning to see the difference between the ego and me. I, coming from my true desire, which is, you know, my true voice, I am willing for surrender. And so I want to focus on that. Because as we know, what we focus on expands, right? And then the next thing Holy Spirit says is, whenever you remember, turn a situation over to me. Notice he's not chastising me for the times I don't remember. He's just saying, when you do remember, do it. So if the thought comes into your mind, ah, I should let go of this and ask Spirit what to do, do it. And in fact, you know what happens if we do when the thought comes into our mind? Even if the thought only comes to our mind twice a week, if we do it every time the thought comes into our mind, what happens is that increases. That increases. It will start coming into our mind more. So the fact that I didn't do it for a whole week, but then I remembered in some situation to surrender, that's still helpful to moving toward full surrender. The only part of my mind that would judge me for forgetting all week is the ego. And the ego isn't trying to be helpful at all. Remember, the ego is that same voice that told me I shouldn't be in the bedroom letting go of my unworthiness and guilt and fear. The ego would have preferred me to be in the living room yelling at Jasmine. Well, the ego is also the voice that wants to make me feel guilty for not surrendering. Spirit says, just when you remember, do it. When you remember, do it. And then the next sentence, Spirit is really making sure we understand what surrender means. Okay? He says, let go of all attachment to what is done or not done or how it may be done. Because the mistake that many of us make when we are first learning to surrender, you know, for example, if we have a financial problem, we kind of surrender. We may not use these exact words, but we have this thought in our mind. We kind of surrender to Holy Spirit in this way. Holy Spirit, will you please tell me how to get money? Right? That's not surrender. Because see, we think we understand the problem and the solution. Holy Spirit just has to tell us how to get the money, right? The Holy Spirit is telling us to let go of all attachment to what is done or not done or how it may be done. You know, A Course in Miracles has a great workbook lesson on this about I do not know what is in my own best interest. Right? We saw in the first message that we looked at tonight, I do not see anything as it is now. That would include the seeming problem that I think I'm in. So if I don't know what's in my best interest, if I don't see anything as it is now, if I really don't know anything, why would I ask Holy Spirit to guide me to a solution that I've decided on? So surrender. Well, surrender is again, the words that come to my mind are the words that Jesus used in the Garden of Gethsemane, your will, not mine. Or, you know, I don't. You guide, I'll listen, right? What is it that Helen said? Tell me what to do, and I will to do it. She actually wrote that by accident. She meant to say, tell me what to do, and I will do it. But she said, tell me what to do, and I will to do it. But that sounded like even more of an agreement. Right? More of an agreement. So we aren't defining the problem. We aren't defining the solution. I mean, listen to one of the things that Ramana asked us to say. How am I to see this? See, that's even taking away the thought that I know what I'm looking at here. I know this is a problem where there are bills that need to be paid. I know this is a problem where you need money to pay bills. Heck, I understand this problem. That's not the way Ramana is teaching us to surrender. There's too much I know in that. Ramana says, ask, how am I to see this? See, it completely takes away all that judgment that I know what kind of situation I'm in. How am I to see this? What am I to say? What am I to do? Complete surrender. Again, puppet. Puppet. So whenever you remember, turn a situation over to me. Let go of all attachment to what is done or not done or how it may be done. Make the surrender complete within your mind. That's a decision. And I know exactly what that decision feels like because I've done it a number of times. But where I first learned to do it is as the scribe of NTI. Because one of the things I was asked to do when I scribed NTI, I was asked to read the New Testament. I was asked to stop when I was prompted to stop. But I was also told that in order to hear the Holy Spirit's interpretation, I couldn't think I understood what I just read. And I got to tell you guys, I mean, there were a few times in the Bible I thought, yeah, I don't understand this, because there's some things that are kind of confusing. But most of the time when I read, I thought, I do understand this. I do. So the first thing I had to do as the scribe of NTI is I had to let go of what I thought I understood. And in fact, in the beginning, I was a little slower. I got a little more practiced as I went along. But in the beginning, I would literally look at each thought. I would, you know, I think Jesus said this, and this is what I think that meant. I'm letting that go. I think the Pharisee said this, and this is what he meant, and this is what he was thinking when he said it. Because you'd be surprised how much we add to stuff, right? I mean, the Bible doesn't tell me what that Pharisee was thinking when he said those words, but somehow I add that. We all do. I know what he was thinking. I know what he was feeling, right? So I have to really look at what I think I know, and I had to lay it aside. And when I would get to a point within myself where I was completely empty of all of those thoughts, I really didn't think I knew, and all I wanted to hear was Holy Spirit's interpretation, what Holy Spirit had to say, and I had no attachment at all, that's when the interdictation would start. That's the same feeling, that inner feeling that we can get to, you know, if we do have a pile of bills and no money, you know, we may need to start with, okay, I do think I know what the problem is. I've got these bills. They're going to turn off my electricity and my water. My family is not going to like that at all. I think I need money. Okay, these are the things I think. And then we start by looking, I think this. And with our heart, at least for me, with the heart, I remember Holy Spirit's teachings. I don't see anything as it is now. You know, my seeing is an obstacle to what is there. I willingly put this thought aside. Right? And I just look at each of those thoughts and willingly put that thought aside till I'm at a sincere place of emptiness, a sincere place of, I don't know, a sincere place of surrender. Make the surrender complete within your mind. You see, I'm not holding on to anything. No thought, I think. No, I think. Make the surrender complete within your mind. When you feel complete surrender within, what to do will rise up. And like I said, that was my experience with NTI. When I let go of everything I thought, then the interdictation started. What to do will rise up. Follow that. Trust that. Trust whatever came when you let go of everything you thought, and you were at that point where you know you were completely surrendered. And then something comes. Do that. Follow that. It says that is the wave of oneness. And Chris, I'm giving you a link. I see your question. What am I reading from? Here you go. It says that is the wave of oneness, which means somehow that guidance is coming from all of us. Because remember, when one part of our whole moves, you know, the other parts move too. It's all in harmony. It's all in synchronicity, right? So if I make a call to someone, for example, if the guidance comes up, call Joe, there could be some reason why Joe needed me to call too. Not I just needed to call Joe, but Joe needed me to call, you know? Or maybe Joe's then going to talk to somebody else and they needed to hear that. You know, everything is connected. So whatever guidance that I receive, it's the wave of oneness. I'm participating now in the helpfulness of the whole, even if it may look like I'm the one that's being helped. He says, ride that wave and look for it continually. Stop being the independent thinker. Ride the wave of oneness. Always be willing to know. And how could you know? If everything is bigger than the little self, if everything is affected by everything else, if you don't see anything as it is now, how could you ever, on your own, make a decision? You literally have no idea what you're dealing with. But if you take the time to get rid of all that stuff that you think habitually, and get empty and ask from that point of emptiness, that point of no attachment, that point of willing for whatever, what comes is from all of us. It's a part of what everybody needs. It's a part of what's helpful to everyone. It knocks other things into action, things you may never even see or hear about or know about, that you can trust. So he says, ride that wave and look for it continually. Keep surrendering. And then in this way, you will experience the least amount of delay in your awakening. Because what's happening as you're riding the wave of oneness is you are getting in touch with your truth, because your truth is that wave of oneness. You're beginning to recognize your true voice, your true self, your true will, your true being. You're becoming who you really are instead of who you thought you were. Holy Spirit also says again, do not think for yourself. Again, that doesn't mean that we're to chastise ourselves when we forget to surrender. But it means that when we remember that, oh yeah, I don't want to think for myself here, right? When we remember. And we just go with it again. That's right. I want to put this down. I don't want to think for myself. Thinking for yourself is delay. That's because thinking for ourselves keeps us thinking we are the independent thinker. It keeps us believing that we are what we are not. Surrender all matters to me until surrender is a matter of habit. Again, Spirit kind of notices that this is going to be a process for most of us, that we're going to learn to surrender more and more and more. And that's all he's asking us to do. Learn to do it more and more and more until it's a habit. And what's cool about that is he is saying it can become a habit. It can literally become a habit not to think for ourselves, just like thinking for ourselves became a habit. So surrender all matters to me until surrender is a matter of habit. And that's the end of that message. Let me see what we have on the board. I am a thought of God, and I can only think with Him. And of course, the think there has a capital T. That kind of reminds me of what we were talking about earlier, Maz, when we were saying that you can only give, right? When you are giving of what the Course would call our real thoughts. You're either in pure awareness, or you are thinking with the reflections of that, which we would call the thoughts of the Holy Spirit. All right, we only have about a minute left, and of course I'm actually done, but is there anything that anybody wants to share before I relinquish the mic for the night? Okay, Bill does. He's coming up behind me.
Well, when really that was really great to hear the clarity that arises out of surrender. It's really surrendering. When you say learn to do it more and more and more until it becomes a habit, it's totally what the Course is saying the holy instant is.
Yeah. Yeah.
We learn it, and gradually we don't wait till we're feeling like totally blissed about things. We wait. We look for those disturbances, and we surrender to the disturbances, allowing things to be exactly as they are.
Yeah.
And in that place, I'm surrendering. When I do that more and more and more, not my will, but thy will.
Yes.
And that surrendering is where, as I practice and practice and I allow, then it becomes not just a habit, it becomes my natural state of being.
Right, right.
And I'm gradually recognizing that I'm awake.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. All
right. Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you guys later. Have fun with Molly. Bye. We love you.